Welcome to episode 22 of Practical Defense, Choosing a Martial Art. Welcome back to still yet another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. Thanks for checking in. As you might have been able to tell from this episode's title, this week we're going to talk about martial arts. I know, this is a huge divergence from our normal routine, but there is a tie-in to general protection, I promise. I put this episode together at the request of a listener, so I'll open with her email. Aria from Dallas, Texas writes, "I'm in this situation now. I took a rape prevention seminar for women, and now I feel like I should learn more about self-defense. The class really made me see that not learning self-defense was really a hole in my own safety that I needed to work on. Oh, and listening to your podcast has made me more aware. Thank you. Now I am faced with a big choice to make. What do I take? The class I took was from a Krav Maga teacher. I tried a free class and will be talking to the instructor more in depth this weekend. I called a friend who has been in martial arts for a long time, and he didn't have anything bad to say about it, but he suggested that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu might be better for me. He knew a really good instructor, Carlos Machado. I'm planning on trying one of those classes too, but I'm not sure what I should be using to base my choice on. The classes aren't going to be the easiest to afford, but I feel it is important to do something. Information comparing one type of style to another is really wide and diverse, and some are pretty passionate about what beats what. I just want to get into better shape and have some options in case I find myself in a bad situation. I don't really like fighting, especially being hit, but I want to learn. So what criteria should I use when choosing to learn practical defense?" Thanks for your email, Aria. You bring up some fantastic points. And whew, where do I begin with this one? All right, well, let's start with Master Machado. There are some great write-ups of Carlos Machado on Wikipedia, and his credentials are impeccable. I have some personal views on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that I'll go into a little bit later, but I have nothing but the utmost respect for Master Machado. The KarateCast podcast actually put out a couple of great interviews with Master Machado, including a video demonstration that they have on their website. And if you're interested, I would check them out. You can find them at KarateCast.com, and cast is spelled with a K, so KarateCast.com. Taking a step back and looking at martial arts as a whole, there is no perfect or best martial art. Each has its own philosophy and specialty. When choosing a martial art, you need to choose one that is best for you, and within that, you also need to choose an instructor that you can work with. So those are the first two things you need to look at. You need to look at the style and the instructor. I went over my own martial arts background in the first episode, but since that was well over 20 episodes back and almost a year now, I'll bring it up again. I have over 12 years' experience in American Kenpo, and this is my primary art, which is a hard style that uses motion to generate speed and power. It was developed by Ed Parker, who was a big Hawaiian man, and he grew up on the rough sides of the pineapple fields. I started American Kenpo at the age of 10 in Grandmaster Parker's West Los Angeles studio, and today I still train and teach American Kenpo under one of his direct black belts. I've also trained in the Korean art of Hapkido. Now, this is a soft style, and I learned it in a very defensive manner under Grandmaster Bong Su Han. I trained under Grandmaster Han for almost 4 years until his passing in January of 2007. And in fact, I posted the original biography of Grandmaster Han on Wikipedia back in November of 2005. Of course, you know, it's been modified so much that it barely resembles the original piece, but, you know, that's the nature of Wikipedia. Now, I say I learned a defensive version of Hapkido under Grandmaster Han because he removed all of the offensive parts of the style for his particular curriculum. He said simply that he had just seen too much death over the years and teaching it was not necessary. I've also trained for a few years, unofficially, in Wushu and Shorinru. I bring this up only to demonstrate that I have had some exposure to some very different martial arts with very different philosophies and spent years studying them. The styles range from Korean to Chinese to Japanese and Okinawan. And that is why I can say with conviction that there is no perfect or best martial art. There is only the best martial art for you. And depending upon where you are in your life, even that can change. What you need to do is evaluate your personal goals. When you're looking for an art, what do you want to get out of it? Protection? You want physical fitness? A club? An extended family? A fight club? Group instruction, a personal trainer. Do you want a big school or a small school? You know, you need to be honest in your evaluation, or you might make a choice that wastes your time or makes you unhappy. You need to evaluate what each art offers. And this is where research and the Friel Trois classes can come in, and Arya is doing the right thing by trying them all out first before committing to any single one. Elsewhere in her email, Arya explained that she's a petite woman standing just over 5 feet tall. Now, due to her size and stature, she should probably not pursue an art that relies on strength as its major component. She'd probably be better served with an art that relies on redirection and joint manipulation. Also, attacks against women often start with a grab or a hold, so she might want to consider an art that starts with escapes. Now, attacks against men generally start with a strike, but of course, you know, once the conflict's engaged, anything and everything can happen. So I'm speaking in generalities here. So based upon her one-paragraph explanation, I would recommend an art that teaches grappling and hold escapes that uses joint manipulation rather than strength. Two arts that come to mind immediately are Tangsudo and Hapkido. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu can be good for her, as well as Judo. And I say can because it depends upon the instructor. Another good one is Aikido, but it can take years to master. But, you know, once it's mastered, it is amazing. But it just takes a long time and a lot of dedication. The issue I have with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo are that they are often taught as competitive sports, and many of the self-defense aspects that were in the original art have been de-emphasized. And this is especially true of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, where MMA and XMA competitions have popularized the art, and everyone is thinking octagon competition rather than real street applications. You know, there's no tapping out on the street, and as soon as you're rolling around on the ground, the guy's buddies are going to come along and stomp in your face. In Arya's case, from the interviews that I've seen with Master Machado, he retains the self-defense and reality aspects of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in his curriculum. However, I would not recommend just any studio offering Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu classes, so you need to choose carefully. Now, you should also notice that I did not recommend my primary art of American Kenpo for Arya. Now, based upon her description of her goals and her preferences, it doesn't sound like it would be a good fit for her. You know, I love American Kenpo, and it works really well for me. However, it is a very physical art, and when we practice our techniques, we really thump each other. We get in close, and we use body positioning and circular motion and linear movements to generate tremendous speed and power. But that's not to say that it can't work for Arya. You know, for example, my younger sister also trained in American Kenpo, and she's barely 5'2" and maybe 110 pounds. For the international folks out there, that's about 1.5 meters tall and less than 50 kilos. She is ferocious and just shrugs off blows. If you knock her down, all it does is piss her off. And for her, the physical nature of American Kenpo is not a big deal, and she takes full advantage of the power that it can generate. In general, American Kenpo has fewer female practitioners than many of the other softer arts, but we do have our fair share. When I trained in Hapkido, it was hard for me to exchange using strength for a different type of manipulation. I was constantly told in Hapkido that if you use strength for any technique, you're doing it wrong. And damn if they weren't right. In the beginning, I was also told repeatedly to stop thinking and moving like a big Hawaiian man and to start thinking like a small Korean man, which still makes me laugh when I think about it. And this was the hardest part for me since I'm, 6 foot and well over 200 pounds. You know, again, translation for that is that's about 180 centimeters and over 100 kilos. But in the end, I was tossing people around like ragdolls using no strength at all. It was all finesse over bull strength. The Israeli arts of Krav Maga and Kapop are both fantastic reality-based systems, but as they're taught in Israel. With the commercialization of those systems here in the U.S., they have tossed out a lot of the reality-based principles and replaced them with a martial arts flavor. Now, they did this to stretch out the training and to get the recurring monthly fees to make them more commercially viable. At their core, they still include some great principles for self-defense, but here in the U.S., they have been surrounded by a lot of fluff. The instructor is also a really important element that you need to consider. You know, can you learn from this person? How does this person make you feel? Does the instructor creep you out? How does the instructor treat the students? You know, how do the students treat the instructor? And how do the students treat the facility? These can all be clues into the type of instruction that are totally separate from the style. You know, the exact same style of martial art from the exact same material can be presented in very different ways. You need to find out not only the style of martial art that works for you, but also an instructor that uses a style that you can learn from. Now, for example, some people are drawn to a very formal, rigid programs, while others prefer a relaxed atmosphere. Some people respond to a very gentle hand, while others need a more firm approach to correction. You need to go with what works for you. The last point is that for self-defense training, you need to spar. Punching in the air is one thing, and punching heavy bags is something different. And punching someone who is trying to avoid your blows and hit you back is something, a third thing, that is entirely different. There is no substitute for simulated combat. Nothing. If you're serious about self-defense, you need to fight. You need to feel what it's like to get hit and get hit unexpectedly. You need to familiarize yourself with it so that you are less likely to become stunned or shocked if it happens in the outside world. The no-contact dojos out there do not adequately prepare you for a real-world conflict. You need to feel what it is like to go up against people of different sizes, experience, talent, strength, and speed. Sparring is the practical application of all the techniques and theory that you've learned. Also, when you practice and spar, line up against somebody who is better than you whenever you can. You will learn faster, more, and better by having your butt handed to you than repeatedly winning. You can't see losing as being a failure. You need to see it as a learning experience. You need to leave your ego at the door and prepare for a butt whooping. Among other things, it keeps you humble. I want to reiterate that there is no perfect or best martial art. There are hundreds I didn't go into in this episode, and all will teach you the basics of punching and kicking. There may be different stylistic differences, but at their core, they are the same. You know, the human body is made one way, and there is a limited number of ways that our biomechanical structures will work. And in the end, anything is better than nothing, and your first tools are always awareness and avoidance. Okay, in summary, there is no perfect or best martial art. Each has its own philosophy and specialty. You need to evaluate your personal goals. Be honest in your evaluation, or you might make a choice that wastes your time or makes you unhappy. When choosing a place to study, evaluate the instructor. Does the instructor's style of teaching match your style of learning? You need to spar if you want real self-defense training. You may not like it, and it can hurt at times, but you need to know what it feels like to get hit and try to hit a moving target. And anything is better than nothing. And awareness and avoidance are your greatest tools. You know, physical defense is only for when all other choices have been exhausted. Now, it just so happens that a good friend of mine, Mike DeLeo, has just come out with a new DVD called Survivor Training, and it's a self-defense program designed for women. I've trained with Mike, and he's a fellow certified Jim Wagner reality-based instructor here in Southern California. You can see a 5-minute clip of his DVD on YouTube. You just search for Mike DeLeo, and DeLeo is spelled D-E-L-I-O. And you can purchase the DVD from his website at combativefightingarts.com. That's combativefightingarts.com. Thanks again to Aria for suggesting the topic for this episode. If you have any tips that you would like to share with everyone, or a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode like Aria did, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.